Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I got a little booklet two months ago. I kept it so long. Josh kept saying, "You threw my paper yet? You threw my paper yet?" I said, "No, I'm not. I want to read it when the time comes," because we had other things we were going through for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I did not feel right interrupting the things we were trying to teach and going to another text and then going back to the prior. So I finally gave it back to him this week. The text was about Christ being our substitute. I didn't plan this to come out this time of year, but it did, and I think it goes along well with what Steve has brought forth teaching us this morning. And with that said, I'm going to the text in Genesis 22. We think about what was mentioned, and it was nothing but they looked at the word huper, H-U-P-E-R, the Greek word, and what it means. I'm not going in the Greek word. I'm going to go just plain with Scripture. But bringing to mind, as was brought out in the little booklet, that Christ was a substitute for us to bear the wrath of God that was due to every one of us and our fallen nature. Chapter 22 of Genesis, we find the time remembering that God had called Abram, changed his name to Abraham. He gave him a son. He had promised him a son from Sarah. Sarai, changed to Sarah. And that child was born. And this time, the child I've read was probably 13 years old or so. But that the time came that God would test Abraham. The Bible uses the word tempt, but in this text, because God tempteth no man, and God cannot be tempted, it means to test. And I'm not going into all the reasons of that. I just want to make the point of the substitute being in here. The Lord told Abraham, "Take thy son, thine only son." This is the one that God promised. It came from the dead loins of Abraham, from the dead barren womb of Sarah, God enabling both to come together and bring forth the promise of God to Abraham for a seed. "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Through Isaac there was to come a multitude of nations. Abram, meaning exalted father, forgive me. Abraham, meaning a father of many nations. And I want you to think about that, because everything that was promised to Abraham by God, who cannot lie, is bound for the sense of the text in Isaac. Through Isaac would come Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, Israel, everything entailed in the Old Testament. Of course, it was pointing to Christ, who is the substitute. But everything was to come through Isaac. And now God tells him, "You take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and you take him to a place that I will show thee of, and offer him there for an offering unto the Lord, a burnt offering." And the Scripture teaches us, and I'm going to try to stay with my text, that Abraham saddled an ass, he took the lad, he took wood, and young men went with them. They went 3 days' journey into the wilderness and came to the Mount Moriah. And just to make a mention, won't cost you anything else or anything more, that very spot is where the temple was built in Jerusalem. That shows you something, does it not? But Abraham took him there as God had commanded. Substitute is the text. Verse 6 says he took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac. That means Isaac was carrying it. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "Here," and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Here is the substitution. Here is the everlasting covenant we read of in Hebrews, I believe 13, where he says, "My son," speaking to Isaac, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And he stretched forth his hand and his knife to slay his son. And God's angel told him to stay his hand. "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." Now here's the substitution. Here's the ram that God would provide. "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son." I can't pass this by without saying this. And I hope it's in line with the context that I'm trying to teach. The ram represents Christ, who is express image of the glory of God, of his person. The glory of God, the ram's horns, was caught in the thicket, and our sin stood between us and the glory of God. Abraham, God's royal priesthood. I'm not talking about under the law. I'm talking about the New Testament. From 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a royal priesthood. Delivered him up. How? By their sins to be crucified. The 69th Psalm, we find where he says in verse 9, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." That is fulfilled in the scripture where he made a cord and ran the money changers out of the temple. And then he says, let me read it. The 69th Psalm, "The reproaches of them," verse 9, "and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." Speaking of the substitute, speaking of the Lamb of God, the sins of those that God loved and was pleased to set his love upon, their sins were against God. My sins are against God. Heard a preacher say one time, "Christ didn't come to die for your sins. He came to die for your sin." Well, then why does Matthew 1 and 21 say he shall save his people from their sins? I know what the man was trying to say, our sinful condition, our sin, but we're saved daily from every sin that we have. Save people from their sins. Our sins reproach to God. They fell upon the substitute. They fell upon the ram, the mighty creature, being a ram, which God provided in that thicket, in the stead of Isaac, Abraham's son. Everything God had promised Abraham came through Isaac. That was a great promise. God made promise to his people before they were ever created. God spake. Everything God speaks is yea and yea and yea. There is no nay with God. God cannot lie. Everything would come about because of this substitute dying in the stead of God's people. John 1, verse 29, the Lord was going to John the Baptist. John the Baptist looked up and beheld him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now there's the word sin, singular. Our condition, our existence, our very being of sin, not just our acts and our deeds, our commissions and our omissions, but our very mind and mindset, our very heart, our very being to the core is sin. Every thought of man's heart was only evil continually. In the days of Noah, it's the same by our nature. That's how we were and are by nature. He will take away, behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I contend and can prove to you by Bible, and I don't have to do that right now because you know it, that the world being spoken of is the world the Father gave to the Son, John 6. The world that God loved. That's not the entire world of Adam. That's every Jew, that's every Gentile, that's every man and woman, every child that God foreknew in love and set His love upon. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let's stay with the substitute. I'm going right back to where Steve was in Isaiah 53. Speaking of the substitute. Speaking of the ram caught in the thicket. Speaking of the Lamb of God. We find this all through Scripture, beginning from the time that Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. There had to be death because God clothed them with skins of animals. Therefore, something had to die. God teaching us that only death would redeem our sin. Only the shedding of blood would redeem us from our sin, would cleanse us from our sin. Yet if we die being mortal creatures, we are dead. Period. Dead and in hell. The soul in hell, the body dead. God provided a substitute. Cain brought forth an offering. Abel brought forth the firstling of his flock. Another death. That's why God gave us in the law the killing of animals to remind us every year. It didn't take away any sin. It didn't wash away any sin. It didn't roll their sins backwards for another year to remind us yearly at the time of the sacrifice that we were sinful beings, that we could not stand in the law of God. We could not be justified by the law of God. The only way that we could be justified was in the death of the Lamb that God would provide when the time came. When the fullness of the time came and God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:4. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'll just say it this way. That's everyone that will ever love God. Because if God loves us, at some point between conception and death, we will love Him. Because we will be born of the Spirit and be taught of God, as Steve told us, and know God. Verse 4, Isaiah 53. Surely He, who is He? Christ, hath borne our griefs. Where do we go in grief? Counselor, Prince of Peace, we go to Christ. Who do we pray through? Christ. Where does our comfort come? In the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who stood in our place, who was a substitute for every child of God. For you, place your name there. I hope for me, place my name there. You want to talk about a personal God? And yes, Steve, I get things from them too, because He is a personal God. God is the God of a people that He chose, but that's a multitude of people, and each and every one of those is a different person. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, He compares us as living stones, not bricks. Bricks are all made the same. They come out of a kiln, and we're all different. Each and every child of God, each stone out there in the yard, washed by the weather and the wind blowing, each stone being shaped as nature's made it. A God of individuals. A God of each individual person that He loves. He is their very personal Savior. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We don't have to live an eternal being in grief or in sorrow. We don't have to live in this temporal world in grief and in sorrow. What's Paul tell us in the Hebrew letter? Of our high priest, made in the image of man. He has faced every temptation that we have faced in this world and every sorrow that we faced in this world, yet he did it without sin. Therefore, he as a man, for God cannot suffer, is able to say, my son, I've been there. I understand. I will bring you through this as we live in this world. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You read the New Testament Gospels. Let him cry out and let's see if the Lord will come help him. Let him cry out and see if God will have him now. They esteemed him smitten of God, and that was not the case. God suffered it. They smote him. They delivered him up to be crucified. We may as well say we were there too, and we did it too, because we are no different from our fathers, and because our sins, if we belong to God, if you love God, our sin, my sin, nailed him to the cross of Calvary in that everlasting covenant. I'm going to find that, make sure I'm in the right place. But we find in Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There's the covenant, the agreement, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He was wounded, our substitute, for our transgressions. Our sin is why he died. He was bruised, beaten, beyond recognition. Isaiah 52 says his vision was so marred, more than any man could not recognize who he was. He'd been beaten so badly. He was beaten. He was bruised for our iniquities. I tried to watch that movie. I wouldn't watch it when it first came out because I'm law enforcement. And after all that time, I get mad to see something that is hateful to good people or injustice. Forgive me, but that's just the way it's always been. I would not watch the movie The Passion of the Christ because I get mad thinking about what they did to the Lord. But that's not injustice. That was the justice of God suffering that to come to pass. God's ways are higher than ours, as the heavens are above the earth. But I wouldn't watch the show. I finally watched a part of it one night at my house with Josh, maybe last year, year before, I don't remember. It's been fairly recent. To see a portrayal of the man Jesus Christ being beaten with those whips of cords of bone and metal, to bring that to my mind, and they can't portray it accurately. They can't bring it forth accurately. No more than those shepherds in the field could have known anything that they knew, but that God gave it to them. And the only way that we know is that God gives it to us in His Scripture and by His Spirit. But it hurt. When you stop and think, He was bruised for our iniquities, for our sins. He substituted Himself. One more name back there in Isaiah 9:6. Everlasting Father. What did it say in Isaiah 7:14? That the virgin should conceive and bring forth a son, his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. What does Matthew 1 say? Emmanuel, God with us. God in the flesh. 1 Timothy, I believe, 3:16. For God was manifest in the flesh. Again, 9:6 of Isaiah. One of his titles, the everlasting God. God, who cannot suffer, lowered himself down to come into this world in the man Jesus Christ. Hebrews says, for he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Our sins, the chastisement of our peace was upon him and him alone. We sang that song, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." There is no way to have peace but through Christ. There's no way to have joy in godly things except through Christ. There's no way to be changed. There's no way to have life. There's no way to have eternal life but by Jesus Christ, and that in His blood. That is the message that needs to be preached to every child of God when we want to talk to someone about the Lord, when we want to share this good news. We need to be telling them that Christ died for the ungodly. That's what it said in Romans 5. While we were at enmity with God, Christ died for the ungodly. It wasn't my choice. It wasn't your choice. It wasn't my good works. For I was in the nature of man and dead in trespass and sin, and not just dead in it, but alive. Loving it.
Yeah.
And Christ died for the ungodly. He was our substitute. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, our substitute, who bore our punishment for our sin, with His stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him, our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, about verse 18, teaches us that we were not redeemed by silver or gold or from the vain traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Blood, nothing but the blood. God loved you. God saved you. Period. How do I know? Do you love God? Then God first loved you. You can imagine how strange this was to a people, being Gentiles, who are separate from God and without God in the world, and having the Spirit of God within them, and for the first time in their life, for the first time in their nature, this change comes about. What a wonder it must have been to them. What has happened to me? I can remember years ago being moved to the Spirit of God. It's like, what happened to me? Why am I now miserable? Because the Spirit of God is within you. And you go forth and you preach the gospel and tell these people what it is. God loves you. God saved you. And everything else comes from that. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to slaughter, the sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison from judgment. Let me read through here. And who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of living. Here's the substitute. For the transgression of my people. My people. He bore the sins of the children of God. Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked there upon the cross, and with the rich, Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How much does God love you? He came into this world in the body of the man, Jesus Christ. If I have time, I'll get over there in a moment. All man, all God, in order that he could endure the cross, despising the shame, laying his life down for you as a substitute to bear the wrath of the law of God. For God is righteous and sin must be punished. And God bore that for you. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. There is a substitution for many for the children of God, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let me go to Leviticus 16 for the sake of time. If I stay there, I'm going to take another 5 minutes. talking about the last verse probably. Leviticus 16, speaking of sin sacrifices under the law, as God told Moses that the priesthood would be to Aaron and his sons. Aaron was the high priest, and God in this chapter is telling him how they are to offer the sacrifice. I want to take a few points out of this. First of all, in chapter 2, pay attention. The Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron, chapter 16, verse 2. Speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place as in the veil before the mercy seat. He could not enter that of his own. He had to be prepared of God. He had to wash himself and put on these beautiful garments that God described under the law, portraying Christ's beauty, who was to come. And he couldn't come into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat. Let me mention that. That shows the substitution, the two cherubs, the Son of God, the Son of Man, looking one toward another because their works agree. And he said, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Let me find what I want to read you. Aaron was to take two kids, and that's not children, that's what kids truly are, goats, small sheep, goats, and one ram. There's the ram caught in the thicket. Now, they're all a type of Christ in one way or another. I'm staying with a substitute today to make this point. Aaron had to first, being a creature, a man, had to take the bullock and slay it and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, the place where God would commune with us, to pay for this Aaron's sins. The priest, you think your preacher's any better than you are? You better look again. We're all sinners.
That's right.
He had to pay for his own sins, which, by the way, none of this paid for its sins. It's just teaching us that we are all sinners and pointing to the Lamb of God who would be our substitute in suffering the wrath of God as punishment for our sins. Aaron had to first make atonement with himself for himself and his family. Then he'd take lots and cast lots. And the one that fell upon the kid that was to be the Lord's offering would be slain. It was an offering to God, a burnt offering. It would be offered with a censer full of burning coals, showing sweet incense to God. He shall take the blood of the bullock, sprinkle upon his finger, and of that goat, that kid, the goat of the sin offering that is for the people. After Aaron cleansed himself, he had to cleanse the people or make an offering. There was no cleansing to it. Christ cleansed the priesthood. Christ cleansed the people. Christ cleansed the sanctuary. Christ cleansed the altar and the temple and everything that is involved in worship and in living with God and in serving God. Christ made it acceptable unto God in heaven. This is all showing us what would come to pass as a type. He had to make atonement for the holy place and for all these things. Verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation. Can we understand that we could not enter into the tabernacle? We could not enter into the presence of Almighty God. We could not stand before God. Moses in Exodus 19 and 20 was there, and they had a great mountain that quaked with fire. The people were afraid. They knew they were going to die. We could not enter in without death, without dying our death. God provided a substitute. God provided a way. God made a way. Our substitute, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place. Only Christ could make that sacrifice. only Emmanuel, without sin, made in the image of, or the likeness of sinful flesh, the body of a man, only God, only the one who is all man and all God, Emmanuel, could pay that price. It was a substitute. He is a substitute for the children of God. And God poured His wrath upon that man for you. Remember, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And we couldn't enter in until he'd made atonement for himself. Speaking of Aaron, for his household. Then comes the picture of Christ. The lot, the goat to whom the lot did not fall on to be the Lord's sacrifice for the people, was to be the scapegoat. And that is what Jesus Christ was. He was the scapegoat. Aaron would take both hands and put them upon, verse 21, Leviticus 16, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all, not just some, not just yesterday's, not just today's, but tomorrow and the next days. Every sin of every child of God. Confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their transgressions. Gone away, put behind him. These are going off into the wilderness on the head of the scapegoat, never to be seen again. That's how God did with you in Christ. If you love God, God loved you first. God sent your sins away into a land not inhabited on the scapegoat. He would bear your iniquities. He would take them away into a place uninhabited, never to be seen again. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let me go to 3 first, 3:18, because that, for my thinking right now. For Christ also, the Lamb of God. Want proof of that? Go back to where I started earlier, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, is the Lamb without blemish and without spot. 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the just one, Jesus Christ, the substitute for God's people who died upon the cross of Calvary, who laid his life down, beaten, scourged, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The substitute for us to save us. There was no other way, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We are the unjust. He is the just, that he might bring us to God. There's the result. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 2, where I started to go. I'll start in verse 23. This refers back to Isaiah 53. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That goes back to Hebrews 13, the everlasting covenant. But here's my point of our substitute. Verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. Who bare, B-A-R-E. The word in the Hebrew text or the Greek text means he presented our sins in his body. He was a sacrifice. His body was a sacrifice for our sins. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Deuteronomy 21. This is the only place in the law where the crucifixion is mentioned as being on a tree. Verse 22. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. This is the only place I've found in the law of God that mentions hanging on a tree. It's teaching us of Christ. They didn't hang people on trees. Oh, I know Joshua hanged some on trees. Absalom hanged from a tree of his own doing. This is not mentioned as something they did or were to do. The Lord is just making a point in it of the coming Christ who hanged upon the tree. Why? Because you see here, He bare, who His own self bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That we were dead to sin. His body, He became a curse. He was cursed for us. Let me go back to Deuteronomy. And they'll hang Him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Remember, they came to break His legs. He was dead already because it was getting toward dark. And the next day was the Sabbath. And the Jews did not want His body upon the tree on the Sabbath. And He was dead already. He had laid His life down. He had fulfilled what the Father, John 19, it is finished, gave Him to do. What was that will? Matthew 1:21, to save His people from their sins. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury Him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Accursed of God. Cursed is he that hangeth upon the tree. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Deuteronomy 21:26, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Thoughts. Romans 8, to make a point. And verse 3. For what the law could not do, that it was weak to the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Christ was your substitute. Christ died for you. Do you love God? God loved you first. Do you desire to worship God? Then God is within you. The only way to come to God is in Christ, the Lamb of God, who offered Himself to the Father, not to a man. The only way to prosper and live in this dark world while we pass through and sojourn here is in the land of Canaan. That's the church today. To worship, to assemble, to walk with God, to pray, to live in the kingdom, to learn of God, to learn and of and praise this great one who was our substitute and who died upon the cold, cruel cross of Calvary, bearing our curse, bearing our iniquities, showing praise unto Him while we live in the world.